Greetings, my brothers and sisters. Sending gratitude to all of you who are joining in today to accompany us down the rabbit hole of self-exploration through plant medicines. My name is Ryan Sprague, and I'm here to tell you that your frequency is now set and tuned to explore psychedelic medicines and the impact they've made among the countless psychonauts exploring the last true frontier. Buy a ticket and take the ride with me as we get true first-hand accounts of the experiences, benefits, risks, and transformations taking place within the ever-expanding world of psychedelic medicines on This One Time on Psychedelics. When we feel into our day-to-day experience of life, it's no mystery that no system is more present in our lives than that of time. That being said, have you ever stopped to notice how confusing and strange the Gregorian calendar system we utilize throughout the world is? For me, I had noticed this from time to time, yet I never felt deeply into it due to the fact that as I was growing up, everyone else around me seemed to be fine with it, and as such, I didn't ask many questions on it. Luckily for me, and all of you listeners, however, today's guest did question this, and over the last decade, has developed an entirely new system of cataloging our yearly time sequence in his project, appropriately named The New Calendar. In this episode, we first dive into the role that psychedelic medicines played in him beginning to question the Gregorian calendar system, before moving into more of what the system actually looks like, why we've been utilizing the Gregorian calendar for so long, his hopes for the future of time measurement, and much, much more. So please give me a big hand in welcoming my man, Tom Sherman, to the show. Tom Sherman, my brother, I am so excited to have you here with me. You know, as I said in the intro, we got to meet through Brandon and I, and it was so amazing to get to meet you and get to join in on that podcast that you and Brandon did because, dude, you straight up blew my fucking mind, dude. It was absolutely fucking wild. And guys, we're going to be getting into all the components of, like I said in the intro, all about the new calendar and how Tom looks at time and everything. But before we get to all that juicy stuff, my man, because this show is called This One Time on Psychedelics, I want to ask you, man, what role, if any, have psychedelics played in your entire life, right? Because when I look at someone like you who's decoupled time, and guys, as we're going to get into, not just thought about time and offered some suggestions, but come up with an entire new system from which to capitulate time within, I see someone who may or may not have benefited from psychedelics at some point in their life, or if not in this lifetime, a previous lifetime. So, man, super excited to have you here. And tell us some context, too, around, like, if psychedelics have played a role, what role they played, and kind of what they may have opened up for you in your life.
Yeah. Well, first off, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Super excited to be here with you. Yeah, I mean, psychedelics have definitely been a part of the journey. And so I was telling you a little bit before we started recording that so I got kicked out of high school and I got my GED, and all of a sudden my whole perspective on the world had kind of got turned upside down and changed. And within that sort of chaos, I started hanging out with, you know, kids that were drinking and smoking and being a little rambunctious, all that sort of stuff. And as soon as I smoked weed for the first time, I was like, holy shit, like this has all been a lot, you know what I mean? All these drug classes they put you through every year at school, like they're just lying to you. Like fucking, it's great. And so that kind of opened up my eyes a little bit to the other side of the coin. And so that led into trying out all sorts of, you know what I mean? I'm an adventurous person. So at some point I was like, yeah, I want to try every single drug in the world before I die. You know what I mean? Like such lofty bucket list goals, but, you know, in early adulthood, you know, hanging out with my friends, going to college, doing all that sort of stuff, ran into, you know, mushrooms and LSD a couple of times and went down a few rabbit holes and, came out the other side with a lot deeper understanding of myself and the world and the cosmos and the universe. And it sort of opens your mind to questioning what is going on, what's reality, where are we, what are we doing? And, you know, it kind of dovetails nicely into time where, like, that's one of the reasons I was studying time a lot after college was all those late night parties. They normally end up with like five or six potheads sitting around being like, what is time, man? Right? You know? And so, you know, one day I just kind of woke up and the party wasn't over. And I just kind of was like, what is, you know what I mean? Like, even through, woke up sober and said, what is time? And then, you know what I mean? So it just kind of like lodged in my brain as this interesting research topic that, you know, everyone's got a million different answers about what it is and what it's made of, or if it is a substance, or whatever it might be. And so it's just this like slippery concept that no one knows what it is, but it drives our lives and we're obsessed with it. And so, you know, just kind of picking at the edges, and then all of a sudden you fall down the rabbit hole and you've been researching a topic for over a decade, and yeah, coming up with new ideas and systems and trying to tell anybody who will listen to, you know, what's going on.
That is absolutely amazing, man. And I've talked about this on the show too, but cannabis was specifically the first medicine that I utilized in my life when I was around 16. I tried it for the first time. Technically tried it when I was 14, but I pulled a Bill Clinton and didn't inhale. So I can't really count that time. But when I was 16, tried it for the first time. And by 17, I had found Zeitgeist, which I was telling you about, which was the first documentary or kind of alternative view of reality that I had found in a video format. And in that, they go over 9/11. They go over religion and they go over money. And I remember after that, I just started questioning everything. And I credit cannabis with being able to allow me to start questioning everything. Because when you start questioning everything, I feel as though for me, you revert back to almost the innocence of a child. Because a child is not concerned of whether or not they know the answer to something, aka they know something. But they're just genuinely curious without an expectation of what's at the end of that curiosity. So they'll ask you why the sky is blue. And when you say an answer that most adults would say, okay, they've given an answer, so we're not going to ask them again if we don't get it. They're just going to say, well, why? Like, why that? And when you say it again and you answer something different, they're going to say, well, why? They're just eternally curious. And I think that plant medicines can be one of many doors that open that infinite curiosity back up within us. And it's awesome what you're talking about when it comes to time, obviously our main quest for this episode, because you're 100% right. You know, like, I've questioned what time is so many times, right? Pardon the pun. At the same time, I've also realized that when I was a kid, time seemed to move so much slower. You know, I remember being in elementary school and I was there from 9 to 3 every day. And I remember that being like a year, like literally a year. It felt so long. And now my partner, Rachel, and I, we talk often. We get to the end of the day and we're like, holy shit, where'd the whole day go? Now, gratefully enough, we're doing things we like to do, right? So like we can at least look back and say we did cool shit. But still, it's very interesting how this thing of time is not objective in nature. It's not stationary. It seems to speed up, slow down. When I was in El Salvador a couple of weeks ago, it was much slower there. In Mexico, much slower. But where I am in Boston, you know, you're in Delaware. So like very similar energy. You were around Washington, D.C. when you were a kid and stuff. That area is just, I mean, it's just churning, you know? And I'm curious for you, like, you know, I don't know the answer to this question by any means. This could be a beginner question or a question that doesn't even make sense. So I'm just going to ask it and, you know, hopefully the gods are with me on this one. But do you have any like explanation for why that may happen? Why it seems like time speeds up in one place versus another? You know, I've heard theories about, oh, your thoughts are going faster, so it seems like time is moving faster. Have you ever thought into that? And if so, have you come up with any theories or heard any evidence for that?
That's a cool, it's just a cool sort of subject to tackle. And I mean, it kind of, I don't know, there's, you know,
there's
probably millions of answers and many paths lead to the truth, right? So, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is there's a famous sort of Einstein quote, I think it is, where he talks about like, you know, an hour with a beautiful woman feels like a minute, but, you know, a 10-minute physics lecture feels like an hour or whatever. And so there is definitely a degree of like relativity to time. And if you're forced to be doing something that you don't want to do or don't want to be a part of, then time definitely drags on slower and longer versus when you're having fun and in the mix, in the zone, you know, I mean, just like in that sort of flow state of just cranking out, you know, what you love to do, your passion. So I think that's part of it. Geography definitely has a lot to do with it because, you know, cities and in social constructs where people are gathering together, like they have their own sort of take on things. And that, you know, like you said, DC area is just this political swamp of ridiculousness. And then, you know, the Northeast corridor, New York to Boston, of just busy, busy, busy. But then when you take that and you go down to, you know, like you were saying, Mexico or South America, or I got some family in the Keys. So every now and again, go down to the Florida Keys and you're on that island time where, you know what I mean? Like, doesn't really matter. No one really cares. Like, you know, part of that is like, you know, just the geography, just the surrounding of your landscapes, of being able to sit on a beautiful beach closer to the equator where the weather is always going to be relatively stable throughout the year. So you don't have to worry about, you know, coconuts are going to be around in the winter, just like they are, you know, a little bit in the summer. And versus the further north you get, all of a sudden you have to extract a lot of value from the time you have that, you know, is available. So you better be harvesting your crops as much as possible and running around stacking paper so that you can buy food for the winter and all that. So, you know, a lot of these things are like residual effects of old systems where we were, you know, we used to live a lot more connected to nature and be at the mercy of nature versus nowadays, you know, it's a lot, you know, there's barely a storm these days that really shuts a, you know, like a, we used to have blizzards would shut DC area down for 2 weeks at a time. You know what I mean? But like now the plows are out, the, you know, we've got 24/7 communication. Everything has evolved a little bit for, we've got more powerful trucks, better windows that keep out the cold longer. You know, it's just, we don't need to be as dependent on some of those systems, those natural systems. I don't know if that answered your question or not.
No, dude, that was perfect, man. That was perfect because, you know, you brought up some really good things there too. Like you brought up number one, like geography wise, like not really needing to do as much if you're somewhere like the Keys or El Salvador, because things are around all the time. I imagine another component of it too, especially when you're traveling, is like, you know, when you're around a new space for the first time, you are fully encompassed in the present moment, or at least you have a better chance to be because you're in a different reality, right? Like if I go to New York, not very different than Boston, but if I go to San Diego or I go to Mexico or I go to Europe or something, well, I want to see everything. Whereas in Boston, I know most of the houses are old colonials. They always look the same. Yeah. Most street signs are going to look the same. I'm not going to see anything that's going to be that big of a deal or that different from my normal waking state. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, like time can go by a little bit slower and faster at the same time, right? Because it's like, that's the other thing too, is even the terms fast and slow, I feel like there's one that's a yes and, right? There's kind of like a slow and fast together. I'm not sure what the hell to call that. But it's like for me, I'm here in my house, right? Like doing my calls and things like that. You know, I love what I'm doing, but it's not brand new to me. I do it every day. But yet the days fly by, but they also feel like they take a long time sometimes. Yeah. It's like you can have both as well, which I think is super interesting. Definitely. And, you know, I think it's cool too that you brought up the idea that we've had systems that have been implemented to allow the hustle bustle to be more and more, right? Like how you were saying that snowstorms used to shut things down for quite a while. I remember that when I went to school too. We were out of school one time for an entire week. I don't think I've seen that happen since then. And that was when I was in like fourth grade, you know? So that was a long time ago. And so like, you know, to see how things have shifted in that way too, where it's almost like, you know, man/woman is also like kind of saying like, no matter what, we're going to keep these things going. I think that has an effect too. I'm not sure what to call that by any means, but it's just really cool to think into that. Super cool.
Yeah. So recently my wife and I had a baby, and something somebody told us was the days are long, but the years are short. And like, that's kind of with the fast, slow thing you're talking about. Cause that is true. Like listening to a screaming baby for 24 hours straight is a long time. But then, you know, all of a sudden, like just the other day, it was her first full season, first 73 days on Earth. And it's like, wow, like that went by pretty quick. If you like, you know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, it's that interesting sort of yin and yang sort of situation that's always occurring. And then, yeah, that, I mean, that's to the second part, I think really that's always been us as a species. Our biggest battle has been against nature and worrying about nature. And so like, that's just what we do, is we try to defy the logic of nature in order to create something that we can comprehend a little bit better. It's a little bit more concrete. It's a little bit more tangible, and it just helps us, you know, survive a little bit longer. And so, but now we're kind of, there's a difference from coming out of the primeval jungle and, you know, like the stoned ape theory of, you know, they ate a bunch of mushrooms and all of a sudden had consciousness or whatever, like however it happened, coming out of that jungle and then now creating systems that are all of a sudden kind of precarious, you know what I mean? Where it's like, if, you know, I think we saw that definitely during the pandemic a little bit, where all of a sudden, all it took was a 2-week hiccup in supply chain, in this just-in-time supply chain theory, and we're still living in the consequences of that. You know what I mean? Like, that's trickled down all the way to the Ukraine-Russia war and these bottlenecks in the Middle East where they're hijacking ships and stuff. You know what I mean? So it's like, you have these systems that we've built up over thousands of years, and they're all in order to defy nature and make us more comfortable and keep the bugs out, keep the wind out, keep the, you know, the cold out. So
yeah, keep us at a perfectly moderate 70 degrees, you know, no mosquitoes, you know, and like, don't get me wrong, that sounds cool, but at the same time, how do you really appreciate the days that are 70 with no mosquitoes if you always have them, you know? And I think that's the classic trap that humans get in with a lot of things, right? Is like, you know, we want that first hour with the beautiful woman or person of our dreams to feel like that all the time. But how would we know what that feels like if it was all the time, you know? So it's kind of that blessing and curse back and forth. And, you know, speaking of systems, right? You know, what we've been teasing this whole time, you guys are probably so excited, all you listeners, but you know, we were talking the other day about how a lot of times it almost seems like, you know, with time, right? Or days of the year, right? Which we're going to get into all this, guys. So we're going to give context. But, you know, it's almost like for me, I always wonder why I'm like, yeah, why are there like 28 days in February? But every once in a while, there's 29 randomly on what's called a leap year or whatever the hell that is. And then the other months have 30 and like 31, but no other month has 29 except February, that one time every like 5 years or whatever it is. Like, I remember that stuff started dawning on me, but I just kind of was like, well, I guess people before me have figured this out, so I'm just going to keep it going. And you and I were talking about the idea that, like, you know, sometimes it feels as though we've woken up on a ship and the ship's just going in a certain direction. And we're like, hey, why are we going in that direction? And people are like, well, I don't know. We've just been going in that direction for a while. So why stop now? Right? Almost like sunk cost fallacy. Yeah. And so I'm curious for you, man, like when it comes to systems, at what point when you were diving into time, did you start to realize there was a system you were building or thinking of building around it? Did it happen right away? Or how was that kind of trajectory for you?
Yeah. So like I was saying earlier, you know, in college, basically I had this midlife crisis in college. I was in college during the great financial recession crisis of 08, and I was studying finance. And one day my bonds professor comes into the 8 a.m. class and he's like, you know, in this chapter, we're going to learn why we should never see negative interest rates in the bond market. And although right now there are negative interest rates in the bond market, we're just going to learn the chapter anyway, right? Like, it'll all be fine. And so it was just like a small little throwaway joke, you know, but it like really bugged me because I was like, this isn't, you know what I mean? This is a red flag. We should be tearing up the textbook. You shouldn't, you know, we can't just like pretend like nothing happened. And so I kind of had this existential crisis about what exactly this system, this financial system we were in and was all about. And so I slowly lost my passion and drive to do finance and economics and partake in that sort of system. And then slowly drifted towards exploring, you know, a little bit deeper truths about these, you know, constructs that we're in through these late night parties, hanging out with people, talking about radical stuff. So then by the end of college, I was basically dead set on being a rogue inventor and scientist and kind of trying to figure out what all was going on. And time was just one of these topics of research that I would come back and revisit sporadically. So then fast forward, I don't know, another 5 years or so, I just moved to Delaware and I overdrafted my bank account. And so I got a letter in the mail that said, hey, you're overdrafted in your bank account. You have 3 business days to get it back into, you know, unwithdrawn status, or you get a bonus penalty. And so I went in on Monday, had cash in hand to pay off the withdrawn status. And the lady said, oh, no. Saturday is a business day because we're open till noon. And like, that was it. That was the final straw. I lost it. Like, they, you know, I don't know, the calendar just like screwed me over again for the last time. And I came home, I took a calendar off the wall, and I'd come to a point where 365 days in a year, there's only two base factors in 365, and that's 5 and 73. So you can only divide even groupings of the year into either 5 73-day periods or 73 5-day periods. So it never really meant much. You know, they're odd numbers, they're prime, they're tough to work with. So anyways, I ripped the calendar off the wall and I just decided to write from 1 to 73 starting on the winter solstice. So December 21st, 73 days later, was March 3rd. And I was like, okay, that's winter. Like, it makes sense. The next 73-day period went from March 4th until May 15th. And that overlaps nicely with spring, and it's ending in that sort of unofficial Memorial Day time frame. And then the middle day of the middle period of the year, so the 37th day of the next period, landed on the summer solstice. And that's where it all kind of clicked of like, this is the system that we live in actually makes perfect sense from a timekeeping standpoint if we sort of step back and allow its natural rhythms and processes to take control versus imposing a system created by, you know, last updated by a pope in the 1500s, ultimately created by Romulus and Remus, who were allegedly raised by wolves. You know, it's like, so we've got, you know, this whole wonky system of that's been a hodgepodge of spiritual and political beliefs and sort of tinkering to control and keep the population on this system, which, you know, worked for what it was, but is also riddled more with sort of like mystical tradition versus, you know, I don't know, actually being a nice timekeeping system, a good way to measure and track and analyze time that isn't sort of mind boggling and doesn't make you, you know, I don't know, lose track of everything. Like,
dude, I mean, it's so true, man. You know what's funny, and this is dawning on me now, is like when we grew up, they tell us, like, you know, don't do drugs, right? Don't do any drugs. Don't even drink alcohol, right? Which I have my own beliefs around alcohol, but they say don't do that. When in reality, it's clear, even if you just look at the time sequence or how we view time, that people were definitely doing drugs and drinking for a long time, right? And so, like, you know, when you think about it, you know, when you look at the system that is now, it's almost like drunk people built it, right? It's very sloppy. It doesn't really make sense. It's kind of just like, just shove this square peg in a round hole and just make it fit. You know, like, I know it's not, but whatever. Right. It's just, it's good enough, right? And when you look at yours, it's so perfectly, eloquently stated because, you know, 573, right? 73-day periods. Is that right. What I mean?
Correct.
Yeah. So 573-day periods. Five seasons, right? Like, everything is so nice and neat. And being an Aries, Virgo, I have a lot of Virgo that rules over me or rules in me. And as a result of that, systems like that make me like, breathe a sigh of relief. It's like every season has an equal amount of days. How nice is that, right? Like, that it all fits together. Yeah. And it's crazy, man, because, you know, like I was asking you the other day too, it's like, you know, how interesting, I'll use that term, how interesting it must be for you to know this, right? Have had this birth through you, have been able to find out a system that works perfectly, 573, you know, day sequences, but yet at the same time, the rest of the world is going to run on this obsolete system. And like, how frustrating it must be and interesting, right? To be you having access to this, but still having to live in the old way. You know, it's so funny, man, because when you mentioned the fifth season, and we'll get to that as well. But when you mentioned the fifth season, it totally made sense because at least up here, right around our area, like May 15th is the end of spring. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't really happen like, you know, in June. Like by June, it's already summer. Right. It's never made sense to me, you know? So I'm glad you're bringing that up.
Yeah. And that's the same sort of thing where on the back half of the year where that, you know, that August, September area where it doesn't really feel too much like summer. It doesn't really feel too much like fall, but it's this whole other part of the year. And that's where the newly discovered season autumn kind of lies. And so, there's definitely these rhythms that are out there that it's just easier for us to try to divide things into four or do things the way they've been done, like you say, because it's just a, you know, 3,000-year-old system, updated piecemeal every few hundred years. And, you know, it's also a pain in the neck to try to, you know, update software. You know, I get a update on my phone all the time if I want to update my internal software, and I say no, I'm not, you know, not, and that's super easy. All I do is click a button. It does all that for me. But to actually have to rearrange your entire life and your entire perspective on the world, that's a much bigger ask to do. And so that has been a sort of an interesting challenge and problem of having this great discovery that I think is the greatest thing since, you know, before sliced bread and all that. And then also know full well that it makes me sound absolutely batshit crazy when I go around saying, hey, I discovered the fifth season of the year and I reinvented time itself. You know what I mean? So it's fun though. And it's true. And you know, I think the best part about it for me is I have this sort of basis of truth laid in our, you know, our modern math and science understanding that if I'm ever, you know, out talking to whoever, I can always kind of fall back and be like, look, it's just the math of the situation. 5 times 73 is 365. You can't do it any other way. Can't divide it by 7. Can't divide it by 12. Can't divide it by 4, 30, 31, 28. You'll always end up with a little bit of a remainder. And then that just creates this continuing problem of, so there's not 52 weeks in a year, 7-day weeks. There's 52 weeks and one day. So that means that the year can start on any given day of the week, which means we're constantly shifting. And so today is what, Tuesday for us right now. So right now it's a Tuesday, but next year it's going to be a Wednesday, unless, you know, the year before was a leap day, then it's going to be a Thursday. And so people know their birth date a lot, but they don't know the day of the week that they were actually born on because it's constantly shifting and you're constantly celebrating anniversaries throughout different times of the week, which, you know what I mean? It's impossible to, you know, when you have an event, like I always think about it, where sometimes I have a party with friends and then we meet up 5 years later and we're like, oh man, remember that time? We had such fun on that party. It was about this time, right? But it was like, no, but it would have been, you know, oh, it would have been like last Wednesday. But that doesn't capture the same spirit because you can't, you know what I mean? You're not having a party on a Wednesday night. You have the parties on the Fridays and the Saturday nights. So without that sort of anchored system to be able to look back into the past and into the future, it just kind of creates this, just like this like illusory effect of time's always shifting and moving. And it's like, you know, it's like you're on a ship trying to get your sea legs, but you never really will because you just keep getting hit in the face with craziness.
Dude.
Yeah.
I mean, bro, you said it perfectly. And you know, the funny thing is I'm a big believer that how we do anything is how we do everything. So if you think about in the collective, right, I know there are obviously outliers on either side of this, but if you look in the collective, most people have no idea who they are, what they are, where they come from, where they're going, what their purpose is, what Earth is, what nature is, what God is. Like, I mean, there's just like, they don't know any of it, right? So why all of a sudden would time make sense in that kind of society, right? Like, because as within, so without, right? So at the same time, like, it kind of like this system we're utilizing, while we have systems that are quantum physics and all these incredible systems, but we're still using a system of time that literally doesn't make any sense even to a first grader that's learning basic addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. You know, it's like, why would all of a sudden that system make sense? Because at the end of the day, I think that it's kind of like the classic tale of Atlantis. You know, like if you build a skyscraper, the nastiest, most awesome skyscraper ever, but you're too excited to have people see the skyscraper, so you rush through the foundation. Mm. Well, what's going to happen to your skyscraper? It's going to fall. Just like Atlantis, right? Like they had all this technology, but they forgot the basics of tuning into who they are, empathy, compassion, love, joy, etc. So they blew themselves up. Yeah. So it's like almost like, yeah, we have quantum physics and all these things we're discovering, but we're wondering why a lot of us have this low vibe anxiety and all of these things going on that are part of the modern day world. And who knows, maybe they were part of a long time ago, but I refuse to believe that in an indigenous culture that is truly living in the way nature intended, that they're feeling anxiety all the time. Yeah. I just refuse to believe that. So when you think about it, like exactly what you're saying is a big thing. You know, we have a 3rd of July party every year here in my town. Mm. And I remember like it's every like 5 and 6 years that I'm really looking forward to it. Cause it's like, oh, it's on a Friday or Saturday right. again. Right. Like this year it's coming up on a fucking Tuesday. I'm like, what? Right. Like what? I'm going to, even if I have the next day off, it's not, I'm not going to be in the mentality of like, hey, it's a weekend, right? A strong end, as my friend Laura Erica would say, but you know, we're not in that kind of mindset at that time. And so mm-hmm. it's really interesting to think about the fact that like, yeah, we're really seeing the same thing play out in as in prehistoric times or, you know, pre-Atlantean times or whatever. So it's, yeah, it's super interesting to think about that. I've never thought about that before.
And that's the whole sort of thing too, is where, you know, if we live in the most advanced society of all time, right? That's what everyone wants to believe. And that's what we all like to think is, you know, we have the most scientific, most mathematic knowledge, most, you know, globally connected we've ever been and all that. If that is true, but also we're unable to step outside of the systems that have been built around us by people that we've never met, that we don't even share the same centuries with, you know, then like, are we really that advanced? Are we that philosophically inclined that we can't even say why, you know, you know, like, why are we doing mm-hmm. this? And then and that sort of, that kind of goes to what something else you were saying too, where I was actually talking to a bank executive recently about the calendar and all this sort of thing. I met him at a networking event. And so then I was doing a follow-up call with him and I told him the story about both my bonds professor and then the bank and all that. And he was like, you know, it's interesting how the finance system has kind of destroyed the need for a calendar, right? I mean, banking is 24/7. You can upload something electronically and zip it across the world. And yet at the same time, there are these legacy systems that cause crushing pain points for the users of the concept of business days and like, what is a business day and this sort of lagging thing. And so there is that sort of constant clash of the future and the past and the systems that have been built that are being used, that it's just easier to maintain than it is to tear down, destroy, and rethink and revisit. It's crazy because, you know, everything deserves to be questioned and everything deserves to, if there's a problem with, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I get it. But if it is broke, like, why not? And that's sort of why we have this thing built piecemeal over the years. It started out as a horse and buggy, and now it's a horse and buggy with like a lot of shit added onto it versus stepping back and just building a rocket ship and letting it fly. So that's kind of been the mindset I brought to thinking about the calendars after that Eureka moment. And I really went full bore into researching the past calendar systems and all the other proposals and alternatives that are out there. And keeping an eye on how do I want to try to rebuild something that I think, you know, kind of encapsulates what we could do and what we could be with our, you know, our current base of knowledge and reality. And then one final sort of thought too is in it all is I think there's a huge problem with indoctrination of time is one of the first things we learn in kindergarten, that there's four seasons of the year, there's 12 months, and these are the days of the week. And then it was in third grade for me where they taught us the rhyme of 30 days in September, April, June, November, and all the rest of 21. And I've heard people have learned to count their knuckles or something, you know what I mean? Like, and then after that, after you learn the clock in first and second grade and the rhyme in third grade or whatever, that was it. We never talked about time ever again. And we were in it, you know? And so
that was it.
And, But in reality, you know what I mean? That's one of those things that we should constantly be discussing and figuring out and learning about, because time touches so many of those topics between math, science, engineering, history, you know, biology, chemistry. I mean, it's all related to time. I don't know. Anyways. Sorry, dude. I just kind of, you know what I mean? I don't know if you can tell, but sometimes I'll just like have a rant and I'm like, I don't know anymore.
Wait. I love your rants, Tom. They're fucking perfect. And especially for this show, bro, because that's what this show is all about, man. Let's get into a stream of consciousness and see what God wants to play with today, man. See what God wants to come out with. You know, as my good friend Paul Check says, great spirit is down for whatever, you know? And dude, you know, it's so funny because what I was feeling into when you brought that up was the fact that, once again, I was thinking about how we do anything is how we do everything. Think about this too. And of course, like, you know, I think a lot of us understand, I'm sure you understand too, why these things aren't taught more in school. But it is interesting to think about what's not taught in school or what's briefly mentioned. Like time, briefly mentioned. Probably the biggest and most important thing to our lives, briefly mentioned. But then what is the next thing? Sex ed, right? Barely mentioned. Taxes, barely mentioned. You know, I heard a good line one time that was, I'm so excited that I had time in school to learn the Pythagorean theorem. It should come in real handy this Pythagorean theorem season, right? Not tax season, but Pythagorean theorem season, didn't you know? So it's one of those things where when I look at school and I look at what they're teaching us, yes, there's obviously the conspiracy of like they want us to be factory workers, et cetera. But I think way more than that at this point, it's just that they're just teaching what they've been teaching for, you know, 60, 70 years, whatever that's been since, you know, school got institutionalized. But, you know, they're just teaching it because they've been going in that direction. So why not keep teaching it? Like your example of the Bond class was perfect, right? Like that teacher was like, well, I mean, this shouldn't happen. It kind of is happening, but the book says it shouldn't happen. So I'm going to keep teaching what the book says. We've almost like, you know, now there's this system of, well, we just bring people through these books.
Yeah.
You know, like the whole Christopher Columbus thing, kind of a yikes, right? We still teach him as if like he discovered America. Why? Because it's too hard to go back and try to shift all that, you know? And I think that with science, they say science doesn't change at the face of a new discovery. It changes one dead scientist at a time, because the scientist that's the senior position, if someone under him discovers something that speaks on the contrary to one of his big theories, well, he has power at play and doesn't want to get, in most cases, to a point where he has to admit he was wrong and then he has to redo all his life's work. Right. So when he passes on, the next scientist can be like, hey, I actually figured this out. Yeah. But it begs the question, why the hell has time not changed then? Because, I mean, there's like 100,000 or way more than that, probably, like in the lineage of who created time, people that have passed on, right? So it's like very interesting too, because you're completely right in saying it's not an efficient system. Like if it worked in some way, I could at least have them, I could see them having an out of some sort. But when you look at the fact that, like you were saying, like 52 weeks in a year, but there's always one day extra, but maybe not in the leap year. It's like, guys, this is like a D if at best on like an experiment. If someone brought that into a science experiment, they would get a D at best, right?
Yeah.
But yet that's the biggest system controlling all of our lives, no matter where we are in the world, what race we are, what gender we are, no matter what, we all abide by this thing that's called time that sure is not objective in nature, right? Certain people view time, different cultures, et cetera, like we were talking about, but we all agree there's this thing called time. And at least most of us, I don't know, maybe indigenous cultures or whatever, but I would beg to argue most of the world now is on this 52-week, 7-day type schedule. So it's like interesting that no one's thought to lead the movement to shift it. Or maybe they have. I don't know. Maybe you have evidence on the contrary. Like, have you found that at any point there was kind of a push? Have you ever seen your system, like someone else talking about it? Have you ever seen like this conversation around time really taking a stronghold at any point in history?
Yeah, there have been a couple different times over history when the calendar has been able to be changed or influenced, or there were a couple movements. And so first, it kind of goes to answer the first half of your question, where it kind of goes back to power. Like you say, like time is a powerful thing to control over somebody, and being able to tell somebody where to be and when to be there and what they should be doing at that moment in time, that's very powerful, because then all of a sudden you can stay in your castle and direct and move people to places and times and coordinate events with degree of accuracy and precision that is impossible as a single human, you know, communicating face to face with everybody. So it's a powerful instrument, and that's why it's always been controlled by either religious institutions or political institutions. And so last time the calendar was updated was in the 1500s, before Galileo founded the field of physics. He hadn't even studied mathematics yet. You know what I mean? And so updated by the Catholic Church, controlled by the Catholic Church, Galileo, I mean, he got on the wrong side of the Catholic Church just for saying stuff about the, you know, the optics of the solar system and what he was observing from his experiments. So like, imagine at that time anybody else saying, hey, well, you know, what's up with this 28 day month too? You know what I mean? I feel blessed to be where I am, who I am, and the point of time that I'm in, because America is great. It allows that sort of freedom of thought, freedom to challenge traditions and systems and all that, that, you know, I'm not the first person to have probably divided 365 by five and come up with 73 and say, hey, maybe we should have five seasons. But if I had done that in the 1600s, they might have called me a witch or something. They might have burned me at the stake. Mm-hmm. Who knows? And so, you know, there's definitely a sort of push-pull on that sort of thing. Recently, though, relatively recently, there have been a couple different pushes to critically think about the calendar and reorganize it. One was in the 20s with the League of Nations, the precursor to the UN. They had a worldwide calendar contest, and people got to submit their different ideas for calendars. And they came up with, I think there were like three or four finalists. And eventually they decided that it was just too hard of a problem to pick a new calendar system and to try to get everybody in the world on board with it. And then, you know, by the time that committee fell apart, Germany had pulled out, World War II was about to happen, and, you know, they never really got back to it. Most of the submissions for that contest were Gregorian based, at the very least. They had a 7-day week, and so they kept a lot of the problems that are inherent within the calendar because they kind of accepted the premise. There were a couple people that, like, kind of like me, kind of came out from left field, but they got laughed. They basically got laughed out of the room. And so that's been one recently. And so the two main calendar proposals from there, one was from a guy named Moses Cotsworth, and one was from a lady named Elizabeth Achilles. And I forget which one. I think it's the Cotsworth model. It's called the International Fixed Calendar, something like that. But that got adopted by the Kodak company, actually. And so that's the popular one that I see a lot of memes about, where it's like, if we had 13, 28 day months, it would be a full year. And that one, which is not quite accurate, because it would be 13, 28 day months, and you'd still have that one extra day outside, which kind of destroys the whole regularity of everything. Another problem with that one is, if there's 13 months in a year, you can't divide that into smaller groupings easily. You know, one of the hallmarks of a good measurement system is short-term, long-term, medium-term units. And so if you have to have 3 months and 1 week, it would be the division of a quarter in that sort of system. So, but then all of a sudden, that means you're shifting through the months of the next quarter would start 2 weeks into the fourth month. The third quarter would start 3 weeks into the, you know, eighth month or whatever. And it destroys the whole, you know, the whole point, which is to have something that you can easily track and count and follow along with. The other calendar that this is the most successful calendar, non-Gregorian calendar, in my opinion, is something called the retail calendar, or the 52-53 week calendar. It's also called the 4-5-4 calendar. It was developed by businesses in the 20s and 30s. And so their problem was, this is back in the day when Main Street retail shopping, right, is where all the action is. And so now I'm a shop owner, And my busiest days are the weekends, right? Because that's when people are out from the factories and they're, you know, strutting their stuff on the main street, whatever. But then you can't compare 1 month to the next month because weekends are different, right? Depending on how many days are in the month. And then also you have a problem with year over year sales where, like, for example, this January, there were 5 weekends in it. Next January, there's going to be 4 weekends in it. So all of a sudden you'll say, hey, what was I doing different last January? We had a lot more sales, but you weren't doing anything differently. It's just there was an extra weekend because of the quirks of the system. So what they've did with the 4-5-4 is basically there's a 4 week month, a 5 week month, and then a 4 week month. And then that creates their first quarter of the year. And they go through four of those. It only has 364 days in the year. So they just completely drop the day from the year. They'll start the year a day early. They don't care. And but then what that does is, so then, you know, you still have to observe leap day and you still have to observe those days at some point. So they just wait every 5 or 6 years and add a full 53rd week into the year at the end of the year. And then that puts them back on schedule with everybody else and all that sort of good stuff. So that calendar is the only calendar system that is recognized by the federal government besides the Gregorian calendar. And the IRS accepts it as an accounting calendar for your businesses if they choose to. And so, like, that's, to my knowledge, has been the only other one that's gotten that close has been the Cotsworth version, which Kodak adopted for a little bit until they, you know, stopped being a company. So
that's crazy, bro. Yeah. Dude, it's so fascinating because the whole time I'm just getting angry because I'm like, dude, yours makes the most sense. Like, is there any other person there with any degree of like perfectionism or anything that could just be like, guys, let's just try dividing 365 from all the first nine numbers and figure out like this isn't challenging, right? Like, you know, again, like, you know, like you said, you can't be the first person that's thought of it, but like, you know, it makes you also wonder if there's nothing out there about this, but yet it's the one that makes the most sense. Why?
Right.
You know, like, what did you tap into that no other calendar can tap into? Because I guarantee, like, you know, back in the day when like anything was like beheaded, you know, like, you know, if you were Galileo back then, I mean, he would have had to have figured this out. Right. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way someone of that magnitude of intellect did not think about this. But if he brought it up, I wonder what the reaction was to make him go, okay, fine. I'll just, like, you know, I'll do something a little bit less. Oh, the solar system looks weird. Oh, that's okay. That's bad too. All right. Like, you know, I wonder what the stepping stone process there was. You know, have you ever found any evidence of people talking about your version of your calendar, like anything in history or anything, like your specific one?
Yeah, well, not me specifically, mine specifically, yeah, but calendar, also at the same time, yes. So there are a couple other like versions that have a 5-season cadence. So one of them is called the Discordian calendar, and the best. So that was from, I should Google that to give you, your crew would love it. It was in the 70s, this like manifesto called the Principia Discordia got, you know, released into the world. And it was basically like written by, nobody knows who it was written by. It was like anti-Nixon. It was like was it Andy Warhol? Was it the hippies? Was it the beatniks? Nobody, it was kind of one of these. It was like memes before they were memes, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. And, dude, that's a really good term for it, bro.
So it's this manifesto that, you know, you'd find at these college parties late night when you're talking about time, and it'd be like, but their whole thing was basically anarchy. It was turning the establishment on its head and kind of satirizing it. And so it was like this new age religion that they were kind of creating and said that this was the founding document of this sort of new age religion. But anyways, as you can tell from the name Discordian and Principia Discordia, one of their things was just like causing chaos and just like absurdism to the ultimate degree. So part of that was creating a new calendar system, which they did logically with the five seasons, but then they like purposefully made it super confusing from there, where they do the five overarching seasons, but then they also do 73 5-day periods like running through them. And it's just a super complex, wild ride that is not quite what I was going for with my version. Yeah. But so yeah, they were there. And then one of the versions in the League of Nations, the guy that got laughed out of the room, he basically was like, yeah, we should have five seasons. And they were like, okay, sure. And then what?
Are you weirdo?
Let women vote? Get out of here. You know, it was, yeah. No, but like they, so yeah, he kind of got laughed out of the room, and he was also, he was like super focused on like from the lens of the factory owner, you know what I mean? So like his whole thing was like, hey, like we need to make a calendar that benefits the factory owner and, you know, takes care of these restless workers that are, you know, starting to take a second day for weekends. Like what's going on there? You know, like, like they're shutting down the factory a half day early. Like we can't do that. Like, you know, this is bullshit. You know? So that's not really where I'm coming from either. I'm trying to come at this from, you know, time is one of the few exceptions to all the other measurement systems we have that has not been updated or created since the scientific revolution. So temperature, the metric system, like all of these different ways that we measure and analyze time or analyze objects, either by weight or volume or you know, length, we've been trying to slowly make it so that it's easier to compare things and trust the weights and measures of a given place. Because before that, it was kind of up to whoever was in charge of what they wanted something to be determined as. And so, so all these other things were created in the, you know, 1700s, 1800s, and time is just one of these legacy systems that, you know, I don't know how much of it is people thought about it and they said, no, it's too dangerous, or how much of it is people just don't even think about it. And you're kind of in it and you're like, you know, I'm going to work on this heat thing first. You know what I mean? Like it's hot. Like I want to know how hot it is and create a scale for that. But I kind of attacked it from the point of view of, all right, let's create a true measurement system as best as possible that follows these sorts of principles that the study of measurement, which is called metrology, you know, what that entails. And so part of it is like having even units that are consistent and that build from one unit into a larger unit and then into a larger unit. And so, and like time kind of does that, where a year builds into a decade, builds into a century, builds into a millennia, and a second builds into a minute, builds into an hour, builds into a day. But then there's this just complete breakdown between a day and a year that beguiles everything, which is unfortunate because as humans, that's where we live the most. You know what I mean? Like we don't live in a second and in minutes. We live in days, we live in months, we live in seasons, in years. And so I don't know. Again, I don't know.
Dude, it's, I mean, bro, I love hearing you riff, man, because you're bringing up so many good things. Like for me, there are just these little things I notice in society that I'm just like, I don't know the point of why that happens. Like, now again, I could be totally wrong on what I'm about to say, but when I'm sitting at a red light and there's no one coming the other way, I'm like, dude, how have we not figured out a system where the road other way, the other road just goes, hey, there's no one coming, and it just turns my light green. You know, like, why am I sitting at a red light when no one's going through the green light? Yeah. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I looked into my human design and my gene keys, a big part of my whole point of being on Earth is to get triggered as fuck over those things. That's why your time thing resonates with me so hard, because when I see these inconsistencies and inefficiencies in our systems, it drives me fucking crazy. Because, you know, it's one thing, the traffic light, not that big of a deal. But time, like, that is a huge deal. Right. And, you know, we can all agree that time is really fucky, right? Like, it's just strange. And, you know, for a lot of us, you know, We can even see it in other ways with like the 4-day work week, you know, things like that, where time is definitely like we're all feeling constrained from something, right? In our general world that is interacting with us in every second of every day, which is time. Yeah. And so like, if we don't correct it now, it's going to have to still be corrected at some point. The question then becomes just at what point, but the farther we go, the harder it's going to be to shift.
Right.
Whereas like, if we shift it right now, yeah, there'll be some severe challenges that certain people go through. But at the same time, those would happen at any point we make any new system.
Yeah.
Like look at the US dollar right now. The US dollar, there's a lot of talk about it crashing and a CBDC being rolled out or multiple CBDCs. Well, that's going to be challenging too. But for some reason, the powers that shouldn't be have no problem doing that. So it begs the question of like, you know, I imagine why they haven't done it is because they haven't figured out a way they can derive more power from shifting time in the way that you talk about, you know, which is all they really care about is power, right? You were saying right. Time is power.
Right.
So if they can't find a huge upside, right, financially and whatever power wise they're looking for doing something, it's like, that's not priority, you know? So it's super interesting to think about that, you know, because at the end of the day, we both know your system and everyone that's listening with a brain here knows like, oh my God, 5 seasons, 73 days in each, that's so much easier to remember. That way the same days are like, it makes so much sense. It's almost silly, right. You know? And so obviously the powers that shouldn't be, they're not stupid. I'm sure they've thought of this. So the only theory I can come up with is that for whatever reason, they can't find power in what, you know, this 5-season model is, which I don't know what power they're deriving from the other model, maybe just confusion and just like, you know, more things to think about. But you know, when it comes to this, like, that's exactly why I feel at a certain point, maybe certain people will just start adopting this on their own. Maybe we'll stop looking for the mainstream or the collective to adopt it, and we'll just start doing our own thing. Because we're moving in that direction anyway, yeah. Right? Working from home is like a very small shift right. In that direction. Entrepreneurship, you know, sovereignty, a lot of what Brandon Thomas talks about with Brandon Joe Williams and whatnot. I've had both of them on the show, you know, so it's like we see these changes happening. So I wouldn't imagine it's too long before we start talking seriously about time, even if it's just in small groups that are like, you know what, we're going to peace out from society and we're going to start doing it their own way.
Right.
Super cool, man. What a great time to be alive.
Yeah, no, totally. I appreciate the sentiment and I agree. Yeah. I agree wholeheartedly that the incentive is not there at the moment for the people who are running, people who run the world. The incentive is not there to seriously look into and figure out how to shift time, you know, in their, even though it would help. I mean, you know, people employ accountants all the time to do seasonal adjustments because one quarter is 90 days, another is 91 and another is 92. But like these little sort of minor inconveniences compared to, like you said, that whole overhaul is probably, you know, not worth it. But to your other point of then that means it's probably a grassroots sort of adoption of people that want to question the systems where they're in, explore different systems and try to find systems that benefit themselves and their lives, because we are in this sort of age where you can live on a homestead and have a remote job and be an entrepreneur and sort of build your self-sustainable life without being fully attached to the rest of society. You know, I think it's great for those purposes. And, you know, one of the things I always get from the haters on commenting on the TikTok is they're like, oh, you're trying to destroy society. You're trying to start a cult and destroy society. And I'm like, no, I'm actually the release valve of I'm letting people blow off steam and do something that's super, you know, this is super like under this undercuts a lot. You know, this is very rebellious in like a very safe way. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. This is like exploring how to live your life in a completely new time system and sort of branch out away from society and sort of found your own world. Yeah, is definitely, you know, not what, you know, the people who run the world want. They want you in their system contributing to it. But also at the same time, it's this maddening sort of pressure cooker that if you don't let a few of the rebels sneak off and start, you know, blowing off steam, then who knows what could happen. And so I think there's a lot of value in the early adopters and the folks who are willing to question and think about time and think about the systems we're in And it's not a bad thing. I think if anything, that helps sustain society and pull it forward slowly, because once you get those people in small groups and collectives who, you know, can collaborate and create these sort of systems that will show the value to the people in charge, then all of a sudden it's like, you know, it's going to be one of those things that all of a sudden you're going to see Coke and Pepsi adopt it and just be like, oh, that's not cool anymore. Like, some, yeah. Like that's, this is bullshit. This is horrible. Yeah. But the only reason they do that is because they see the power of people, you know, whenever they co-opt a meme or whenever they co-opt something that is organic and turn it into this like corporate shit show, it's because all that hard work that the pioneers have to do to get things, whether it's thoughts, products, ideas, concepts, you know, accepted, medicines, you know what I mean? Like accepted, then, you know, all of a sudden everybody's doing it. We were talking about this before where, you know, I got kicked out of school and I smoked weed. Every time I possessed weed, it was a felony and I got jammed up with through the legal system up and down and paranoid out my butt because of it. And then all of a sudden, you know, everyone's walking to the corner store smoking a doobie and I'm like, what happened? You know what I mean? What happened to the world that I used to live in where, you know, now it's like cops are smoking weed and eating mushrooms. And you're like, what is going on? What is this? It's crazy.
Dude, it's so funny, man. You know, it's like, dude, if we make this 5-season model, that's going to be weird as hell. It's like, guys, we banned plants growing on imaginary lines that we stole from other people. All right. Everything is weird. Yeah. You know, everything's weird as fuck. Yeah. So we got to get that out of our heads. And at the end of the day, the best parts of life are the things that you can make more efficient and make more enjoyable. And I think at the end of the day, you know, it's like no one's still alive who invented time. We're not going to like ruffle any feathers, I don't think. No one here is attached to like, no one here invented it that's alive. So at the end of the day, I'm really excited to see how this continues unfolding and to see your system adopted worldwide, man, because it fucking needs to be. And Tom, this has been amazing, bro. I can't wait to have you back on for round two, bro. You're hilarious. I love chatting with you so much, man. And you articulate, you know, your whole concept of time so well, you know, that anyone can understand it. Anyone can grasp it. And it like infuriates me in a way that literally it's not the way it is. Cause I'm just like, that's such a better system, dude. Like, why have we gotten to a point in society where when we find a better system, it isn't automatically implemented? Like, I just don't get it.
It's all good. I appreciate it, man. Look, here's the deal is it took Pope Gregory 200 years to get his calendar adopted by the world. And he had the full weight and faith of the Catholic Church behind him. So like, you know what I mean? Like, I think we do have a little bit of an advantage of being in the information age and you know, being able to connect with, you know, on podcasts like this and information networks that just get distributed worldwide at the blink of an eye. But I'm under no false impressions that it's not going to be a, you know, 100 years or more before something like this would actually, you know, be establishmentarian viable. You know what I mean? And so like, I appreciate, you know, you just helping spread the word and get the message out there, man. So I can't wait to be back. I feel like we didn't even talk about any of it yet, but like, it's cool. Bro. I can't wait.
Dude, it's so funny, man, too, because, you know, I find with most of the guests I have on the show, they become two or three parts. You know, you guys, the listeners, you know, I've had Jason Ganzouk on, I think, 5 times now. And it's because every time I talk to him, I learn more stuff. And, you know, I love hearing a lot about the backstory, you know, the story behind a lot of the techniques and people I have on the show. And we did a great job of that, man. You know, it was so cool to hear a lot of your background and, you know, how this stuff got birthed into you. And, you know, that at one point in your journey, psychedelics catalyzed you just like they did for me. And that you were able to take that and continue opening your mind even without the use of psychedelic medicines alongside it, which is really the goal at the end of the day, right? They're the spark that can kickstart a fire. And sure, at any point, if our fire goes out, we can kickstart it again. But at the end of the day, we got to keep that thing, you know, flamed, you know, and fanned, you know. And so, man, you know, where can people find you, Tom? Where can they find out more info about the new calendar? Of course, I'm going to link it all in the show notes. I already got all your links, but where can they go? Where can they find out more about you? If you have a way they can contact you, if they have questions, you can drop that too, but tell the people where they can find you and connect with you, my man.
Yeah, man. Thenewcalendar.com, thenewcalendar.com is the website. Social media handles are @thenewcalendar. So yeah, definitely check both of those out. otherwise, yeah, I would, you know, I got to hawk it. I've made these novelty wall calendars that they last from 2019 until 9,999. Refunds in the year 10,000 if they don't work, but they will. They will. So, and then those come with a user guide too, which is full of cool stuff. Like it talks about leap years and what's going on with them, the new units, the history of time. So I kind of talked about a couple of those nodes, but yeah, I would check all those out. Check those links out, thenewcalendar.com, at the new calendar. And yeah, I can't wait to talk to you more and yeah, answer any questions anybody's got.
Tom, you are the man. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm sure your mind has been blown the same way mine was when I first heard Tom speak. And for anyone looking to reach out to him, make sure you follow the links in the show notes, just like Tom just said as well. If you'd rather listen to his handsome voice to bring you there, you can do that too. But make sure you go check him out, give him a follow. He will definitely be back. We're going to dive even deeper into time. And if you guys enjoyed the show, of course, give us a 5-star. It helps us get the show out to more people. And we are super, super appreciative of that. And until next time, everybody, I hope you're having the best day ever. And as always, may the force be with you. Much love, everybody. Peace.